The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
We walked into WrestleMania live in front of 75,000 people as the WWE Raw Tag Team Champions. We've always had momentum. Legends. Legends in Japan. Tell them, Gallows.
That's right, Dorcas Malorcas, you chump, you little stupid piece of crap. How dare you stop us and question the integrity of this Japanese legendary tag team? We are Gallows and Anderson. We are the Good Brothers. We're all about being mean and making green.
Lots of it.
What better endorsement could a legendary tag team have than a member of the legendary Harlem Heat, NWO member,
yep.
Too Sweet Me, Good Brother.
Look at that.
Too sweet.
Stevie Ray, Good Brother.
Stevie Ray,
do you think we care about the revival?
I don't think you should ever care about anything but breaking necks and cashing checks.
That's it right there, baby. Be mean, make green. He gets it.
Stevie Ray ain't too sweet, and you, nerd.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling of the Max, episode 255, part 1. And we, of course, are brought to you by W2Mnet.com as well as 411Mania.com. And, of course, hey, if you love all our content, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max wherever you find podcasts. And if you love W2Mnet.com and you love all the podcasts that come from that website, make sure you go subscribe at the W2M Network. That's right. I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And boy, do we have a show for everyone, guys. We have got an interesting set of news topics to jump into this episode with the crazy situation going down with Alberto El Patron and Paige. That's right. They are back in the news. And this time it is with some domestic dispute involved at an airport. Trust me, this has been a big deal. It's all over the web. It's everywhere that you hear about wrestling. So we'll be jumping into that. Plus, we have some audio attached to it. So we've got that for you guys. Plus, we're also going to be talking about Austin Aries leaving WWE. Plus, going into some information about what we think about the AJ Styles thing, where he went ahead and grabbed that United States Championship off Kevin Owens at a house show at Madison Square Garden, and a lot more. Trust me, a lot more news than just that stuff. So those are the big things we'll be talking about tonight. We'll also be talking some Ring of Honor. That's right. They had a TV taping we've got to jump into, and just a fun show. And I can't wait to get into all our big stuff. But before we do, I just got to say this, guys. My birthday wish came true. I had a birthday this past week, and I was so concerned. I'm going to take this back. It hasn't come true just yet. But as I was blowing my candles out, and I'm sitting there, and everybody thinks that I'm wishing for $1 million, and that they think that I am just sitting there dreaming of something big as I'm blowing my candles out. They had no idea what it was. My biggest wish for this year was that we'd finally end Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar. And so we have an I Quit match tomorrow night on 205 Live. If my wish is going to come true, it's going to hopefully happen there. So if it doesn't happen there, guys, while y'all are doing that 205 Live review show tomorrow, know that I may not be available on Thursday. Just want to throw that out there.
They'll walk over to your house and try to talk you off a ledge, maybe.
Yeah. That's the problem, Paul. I mean, I may not be able to be sane. I may literally be hanging out a window or hanging around somewhere. Good luck.
Well, you know, is it any worse than Ambrose and Miz still going on?
Oh, I know, right? Well, at least they're sprinkling in the Shield. There you go. So I just had to throw that out there. I mean, that was the biggest thing. I remember watching, you know, this past week, and of course, Alicia Fox saying, the only way this is over is if Cedric Alexander quits. And I was like wanting to call, hey, please quit, dude. Quit,
Save us.
Save us, please. Jericho can't do it. You save us. Anyway, enough about all that silly stuff. You know, guys, I know, you know, there's a lot of news topics we got to jump into. So why not? Let's go ahead and get into this thing. We've got a lot of hot stuff to get into. We're going to talk Quick Hits right after this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick Hits.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start off by talking about, I think, the hottest piece of news right now. And that, of course, is Alberto El Patron and Paige. And, you know, if you've been, you know, kind of out of the loop, maybe you tune into this show to find out your news. Well, that's great. We have it right here for you. But if you've got on your phone at all, you got on your computer at all, and you look up anything wrestling, especially any news site for wrestling, you know about this situation. But we'll go ahead and kind of give you a quick fill in here. We found out that Alberto El Patron and Paige were at an Orlando airport, and apparently they got into some stuff while they were there. And the stuff that I'm talking about is domestic dispute. And this, you know, has a lot of rumors circulating around. We do have some audio for you guys that we're going to play in just a second here that kind of gives you the understanding of what their conversation was like at this airport. But there have been rumors about physical harm towards, allegedly, towards Paige. I'm throwing that allegedly thing. I can't afford to pay a lawsuit.
or Paige towards Del Rio.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly.
Or Patron, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, both ways. So allegedly there was some physical violence involved. We don't know the full scope of this. We've got what we have. But I think through the interesting conversation that these two had between each other, you kind of get the idea they weren't happy and things weren't going so well for them. So without further ado, I think we should play this clip, let everybody kind of hear how this thing was going down, and then we'll go on and move on with our rest of this conversation. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
Oh, well, there's certainly a lot there.
Yeah, and, you know, this is where I was kind of a bad host tonight. I did not even prelude that with saying, hey, if there's little ears around, close them. I'm sorry, they just heard an earful. If you had kids in the car or somewhere around you, but
I think unless you just don't know what we're talking about, you've probably heard the audio if you're any kind of wrestling fan at this point.
Yeah. I feel bad now not saying that beforehand because, you know, once again, if no one had heard of that before, they may have had some other ears that there that may not have wanted to hear all that. But anyway, sorry, it's already done. But what is interesting here, guys, is you can obviously hear that, you know, Paige is saying she's going to press charges and Alberto's talking about pressing charges. All this stuff is going on in this conversation. And some of it, it's kind of hard to make out, but you definitely get the gist of the fact that they were intensely angry at each other. And things were going down. And then you had a nice fan tell them how much they are a big fan of them. So, good job. You know, bad timing. I got to know, guys, from what you heard and from what you've kind of paid attention to and all the reading, what do you think about this? I mean, it seems like this relationship that we were supposed to believe was a fairy tale. Wow, it's falling apart quick, it seems, Paul.
I don't know if any of us on this show ever really believed it was a fairy tale, but they did seem happy for a time. And I mean, arguments happen, but people are, you know, Alberto's the one under investigation when the audio here makes it sounds like she hit him. So I don't know. And Paige tried to clarify what was going on Twitter. And I don't think really anybody believes her. So this is a big messy
situation.
Well,
this audio disputes what she said. So
right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, something obviously happened. You know, but
yeah. And for those that don't know what she tweeted out and said that a fan wanted to meet Patron and he said they're busy and she threw a drink in his face. Mm-hmm. So that obviously,
I mean, that might have happened, but that did not happen during this audio. So
yeah, right. Exactly.
In fact, the fan wanted to let them know how big of a fan they were.
Just, true.
Come on now. Of all the times to tell someone that you're a great fan of them is, like, that would be me. That would be like, you know, I'm hanging out with Gary, him and his wife decide to, you know, they have a little argument there, and I decide to butt in and say something, period. Like, you just don't do that. Like, they are obviously having conversation that does not need to involve a third person. Much less a fan.
You can't miss opportunities like this, Sean. You just can't. You got to let them know anytime you see them, hey, man, I'm a big fan of yours.
I'm surprised they didn't ask him for a selfie while they were.
Yeah. Oh, man, that could incriminate someone with the bruises involved. yeah.
To be fair, I know we're talking about Patron being hit here. And yes, Paige has supposedly been training for MMA. But many times you see pictures of her, she has bruises on her. So, you know, some of this doesn't add up. And when you hear what she says here, it seems like this is a very not healthy relationship, if you want to say it that way, bordering on abusive. And perhaps both of them were bad for each other. And this is something I think almost anybody that has looked at this has said that they're not good for each other. And I think this kind of puts it in that light, right, of she feels like she's been wanting to get away. For some reason, she doesn't. And we're here, where now the whole world gets to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's the truth. And here's the thing, when I look at this relationship, and I said it, you know, was supposed to be a fairy tale. I think that's what they were trying to get across to you. They wanted you to hear about their love and how WWE was the evil empire that was keeping them from their true love, and how, you know, Del Rio was that white knight on the steed, and he came out and he saved her from the evil empire, and she's the princess and everything's wonderful, and now that they're a part of this new company, they can do what they want, blah blah blah.
Well, she's not part of that company.
Well, he is, but you're right. But she still has not been on WWE television. She's kind of just out there. Even though she's been around GFW more than she has WWE. So anyway, the whole point
Well, that's because WWE are smart not to have her anywhere near the company right now.
Well, plus, Patron can't be there. Like, they're not going to let him anywhere close to their doors or their talent. Right. That's not going to happen, trust me.
Well, yeah, because he'll just go want to beat him up, right? That's all he's doing. Is now he's threatening Triple H. And, I mean, seriously, this guy needs to get some help. Like, you're going around. You have that much of a problem that you just can't leave them alone. You have to mention them constantly. Like, just something going on there, man.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and you know, I love also, he has to mention them at, I think, Slammiversary when they went off the air. He was talking about them, I believe it was after Slammiversary, where he said, "We are not sports entertainment," basically saying that GFW was not sports entertainment. I'm like laughing at myself. Okay, yeah, so that whole Joseph Park and, you know, Borash and, you know, all that stuff, that was all real.
Y'all didn't
just
have Swoggle getting beat up by somebody the week before. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's all funny. But, you know, here's the I really think it boils down to this. I think that Paige may have been brought into a relationship she thought was something that it was not and is not. And I think also there's some other things going on that we're not seeing. I think there's lots of rumors, and allegedly there's some, maybe, we know drinking is definitely a big part of what's going on in that relationship, but other substances are involved in this relationship, which that really causes other problems. And I think has also caused some strain. I think it's also caused Paige to be in a certain mind frame along with Patron. I think that's why he basically rants and raves all the time, because I think there's a lot of substances flowing through his body when he's not in the ring, and maybe even when he is in the ring, that have caused him to kind of do this. And he's using, you know, Periscope and all these other ways to get the word out there that he wants to get across, which is WWE's evil. Everybody look at me. I'm grand. I'm great. And Jeff Jarrett's helping him with that whole, hey, I get to have a big ego. So I don't know. This whole thing just seems bad. And I don't want to say that I don't want them to be together, but in a way, I don't want them to be together. But it's just, I don't know them personally, so it's kind of hard to say that. But I think together, this is a ticking time bomb. I'm really concerned of what can happen further from this if this continues.
Just going to have to wait and see, I guess. I mean, we still don't know exactly what's happened. Like, nothing else has come out of this other than what we've told you so far. So,
well, GFW did release a statement saying they don't condone domestic violence and that they're going to be watching this. And, you know, apparently they have already adjusted storyline involving LAX. So that might be a precautionary measure as well. Look, especially after the audio, I don't know that you can really, I don't know if it's worthy of taking title off someone, but certainly it's, I don't know that you want him to be I don't know, just none of that looks good for either one of them. And, you know, whether, you know, Patron is the victim in that case, there are probably other cases where he is not. Mm-hmm. And if she is yelling like that about wanting to get away from him, obviously that means that there is some point where he is not the victim. And, you know, she was already, let's be honest, if there's anything to go by, and I don't think some of the stuff from Total Divas is obviously made up for the show, but she is obviously, she is 24 years old. You know, you do a lot of things at 22, 23, 24, 25, whatever. You know, we're 30. We're still doing dumb stuff sometimes. You know, so she was already showing signs of not, like, she didn't want to commit to the boyfriend that she'd already agreed to be engaged to, and kind of did him wrong, honestly. And then you have Mr. Patron, who has a terrible history of doing women wrong, you know, his wife and all that junk. So it's like you got two bad apples getting in a relationship, you know, I think the signs were there. Just, you hope it doesn't escalate into something terrible. I heard a lot of people throwing the Benoit word around.
Ooh.
Concerning Patron today. I don't know about if it's going to get, let's hope to God that it doesn't get like that. We don't want nothing like that going on. But, you know, I hope that for Paige's sake, she really does do what she was yelling about in that audio and seeks help from family. Or, you know, maybe not wrestling, but going on the road with doing something. Stick her in the rehab. I don't know. I asked WWE to help you put you in the rehab just to get you away from him. Or, look, I mean, when you're asking to go to jail because you want to get away from somebody, that's not good. That's not good at all.
No, and I think that's a big factor in this. And I think you're right, Sean. Age has something to do with all this and the reason she probably got mixed up and everything that she's gotten mixed up in. I know for a fact El Patron will no longer be one of those people that gets back in WWE. I think that would be it would have to be a huge, huge apology, or they'd have to really work on Vince or anyone else in that company.
What use he would give them at all? There's nothing about him that changes other than, oh, he has more fiery promos.
Yeah,
when he goes somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, his future is pretty much where it's at now, and it's probably as good as it's going to get at this point. I think Paige, sadly, the way she's going, she still has an opportunity in WWE, I think. I don't think they're completely against her. I don't think they're happy with her, for sure. But I think they still would not mind having her as a part of that company. And if she wants to resolve this, I think she has that opportunity. But if she continues down the road she's going down, that opportunity may be slipping further and further away. And you never know. She may completely ruin the rest of her career, at least, you know, from being able to make huge money and being in a situation where she gets big exposure without WWE. And, you know, it is what it is. But I worry for her, and I feel like she's letting something slip out of her fingers that, you know, honestly, she trained hard for forever. And now, because of a guy, going out the window, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know if you guys think that she'll ever get back to the point. I don't know if any of us know that, but I just hope for her sake she does. So, but yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps up.
I think
up.
She definitely does eventually. Look, it's on her, right? Like, she has to somehow find a way out of this, whether you ask help from somebody to physically get you away from him and don't let you talk. Sometimes you got to be extreme with these things, right? Like, you got to not let her, if you're her mom or something like that. I'd only condone this if it's like, you know, your best friend or your mom or something like that. I wouldn't be just, you know, say like, okay, block his number. Don't answer the phone to numbers you don't know, because it could be like a family member of his trying to reach out. You know, he could have his kids try to talk to her. You know, don't talk to anybody involved with him. Focus on yourself, go back to training for wrestling, you know, whatever it is to get your mind off of what you've been through, and try to just rehabilitate yourself, because that's a that's a thing. That's like, when you get out of a relationship like that, you have to all of a sudden now, like, learn things about yourself again, like learn to trust people again. Like, it's just, it's a whole different deal. Right. And so, you know, and who knows, I don't know if there is drugs involved or whatever, but, like, I mean, I've known people that have done weird things like that. Some of that conversation I have witnessed myself from somebody that just being so bad on drugs, that happens, but that is beyond that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but it's just, I hope for her, she just, you can't, if that's her reaction, that tweet, the whole leave me alone. With this audio, you cannot possibly expect people are going to leave you alone now. Like, any time that they see those two together, talk about fans, you're going to have people saying terrible things now. It's just, I feel bad for her in that light, and I shouldn't say I don't feel bad for Patron either. That's, to be fair in this situation, because that makes him look bad too. But just for the well-being of both of them at this point, because you got those crazy people out there, you might want to think about separating maybe the best thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, seems to be the best option for both of them. I mean, this is already affecting, El Patron and his situation with GFW. And
like, think about her family. They're all wrestlers, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine her dad or mom are very happy about this. Like, wouldn't I'd be wanting to, the whole, am I ready to go to jail? Because this might be happening, thing.
If you've seen her mom wrestle, I don't think she has a problem with going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm not wrong, Paul, didn't her father make some comments about Patron, saying some negative things?
I think so. I think it was on Twitter a while ago. Her mom's in the States right now, I think, still, because she did Shimmer this past weekend. So, I mean, it's not like a phone call and trying to get to her mom would be completely out of the question right now if that's something she chooses to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much of that was legit because they were, I think, wrestling each other at the time that thing with him and Patron was going on, if I remember correctly. So that was kind of in a, how much of that is a shoot and how much of that is them trying to drum up interest,
Mm-hmm.
But
it's interesting. I mean, there's so much to this, and I know we keep going on and on about it, but I do want to say this. I mean, for as many people are listening to this and saying, she's just stupid. She should have just left. It's not that easy. And the reason it's not that easy is people that are abused, people that are involved in drugs or even alcohol, they tend to have some mental, I don't want to say, I guess I could say mental attachments. They mm-hmm. feel like they've got to have that person. And if they don't have that person,
they're like a drug to each other.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's what's going on here for the most part. I think maybe Paige and maybe to an extent, even Patron himself are not really happy with the relationship. They've kind of found themselves in an impasse. They once had a honeymoon phase. That's over now. But yet they can't leave each other alone. And they're in this together. They're Bonnie and Clyde against all the evil people out there against them. So that's probably holding them together, plus all the other things that take place here. But like I said, it's a ticking time bomb. Now, I'm not going to say it's a Benoit situation. I think it's more on the other hands of eventually the police are going to get involved, and eventually someone's either going to go to jail or they're going to be forced apart. And that could be a bad situation for either one, so I just hope things get better for them. I really, really do. We'll see. And I'm sure this will not be the last time we spend a lot of time on these two. I'm sure they'll be back in the news. But hopefully it's not in a worse case than this, So, but yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much wraps it up for that. I mean, I think we've kind of covered it pretty well. If anybody else has any of their comments that they want to share with us, make sure you go to our Facebook group. Go ahead and throw your comments on there and let us know what you think. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Let us know on there. That's at Wrestling to the Max on Facebook. Also, make sure you send a comment. I mean, on the website, if you're listening on the website or you're listening on YouTube, put your comments in. We want to hear what you have to say. Trust me, we check it out. We listen. We watch and we'll respond to you guys either on air or on that, whatever you're listening. So let's go ahead and move on, though, guys. We got to talk about some other interesting stuff here. I think something else that's really interesting here is Austin Aries has now been released from WWE. And apparently, from what we've heard originally, Austin Aries said that he asked for his release. And then there's been some other people coming out, like Dave Meltzer, saying it was more on the other hand, where WWE just said they were kind of done with him. There's also some rumors that maybe he was not as well liked by creative and WWE, and maybe even some other people in that backstage area. So, I mean, it seems like this is a very mutual divorce between WWE and Austin Aries. Austin Aries was seemingly pretty happy over Twitter about his release as well. So I think this is kind of interesting, Sean. I mean, a guy that I was happy with, I enjoyed him in WWE. It's kind of a surprise to me to see this all of a sudden happen so quickly.
Yeah, I think he probably didn't want to be pegged as a cruiserweight the whole time he's there. And I think he very well has that right, because he's proven in Ring of Honor and in GFW and pretty much everywhere else he worked that he can be a heavyweight champion if you go with him, right? And I think he proved in on commentary that he is great in any situation you put him in. Just he also has a bad reputation of being a dick. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what happened here, too, is that, you know, depending on who you believe, he was being a dick on purpose to try to get them to let him go. And so, you know, look, the guy's getting older. He's on the older side. He probably doesn't have the patience to sit around and wait and see if they're ever, if 205 Live is ever going to come out of the, you know, gutter that it's in. And, you know, he don't want to sit around and be a part of that and wait till, you know, 2 or 3 years from now and go, oh, or finally I'm getting a shot at being out of 205 Live. Like, I don't blame the guy. He can go anywhere. He can go back to GFW right now and probably be a top guy. He can go to Ring of Honor, do the same thing. Just, you know, I think it tells you a lot when his tweet after he leaves is, what a beautiful day. Obviously, he was not happy after a while.
It's hard to blame him, too, right? I mean, he came in as one of, you know, a bigger star. He's 38, I think, when he signed. He's 39 now. And he's ready to make a go of it. He's finally, like, this is what he's been working for the whole time. And he gets thrown at NXT. He does pretty well there. And then they bring him up and put him in the cruiserweight division and have him lose to Neville 3 times. And that's really it. I mean, there's no coming back, really, for a while. And you're just going to languish in 205 Live. Like Sean said, he doesn't have time. I don't think he wants to do that. He can, like, he might have made enough money to where he can retire if he wants to, or if he wants to go back to Ring of Honor or GFW or wherever else he wants to do. I'm sure he'll be great at it. You know, there's a lot of places out there that love to have him.
I just wonder if New Japan wouldn't stick him in the juniors too. You know,
I mean, he's a little short. Is the only thing I think that might hold him back, but that hadn't stopped New Japan before,
right? I mean, you know, Ishii is 5'7".
Right. So. Ishii also has a bit more weight on his frame, though.
Right. Right, yes. That also helps. You can be short, but if you're stocky, you can go a lot more places. Mm-hmm. I think also, remember the... Now it makes that tweet make sense that he wrote after the third loss, where he said, I think I really have to, you know, start looking at my life and what I want to do. And how legit that probably was.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and maybe that, you know, life-changing decision is to put the banana aside and eat like 6 large pizzas. That way you can, you know, outgain Ishii and other guys. So, I don't know. I'm kidding, but I mean, the guy is a really great wrestler, really awesome talent, and to have him out there in these other promotions and not WWE, it's fine. I mean, he's done such a great job at that his entire career. I do think it's sad he didn't reach his goals and the things he wanted to do in WWE. But, I mean, I don't know if really they had that spot for him. Really, the main event picture in WWE is pretty crowded. I think kind of on both brands, and Austin Aries was just not fitting that mold just yet. And I don't know how soon he would have been able to. So, you know, I think best wishes to him and whatever he's going to be doing next. I think, you know, there's a lot of places that are going to use him very well. Whereas WWE I just don't think he was in the cards with them just yet. And he's too old, sadly, to really be expecting a whole lot, you know. So
I did love PWG trolling right after with the 12th entrant in the Bola is Austin Aries. And then they went back and took it off.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, you know, I don't know why they couldn't get away with it, because, I mean, it's not like that DVD is going to come out till way after his 90 days.
Well, but technically, he can't compete for, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think he can straight up work a wrestling promotion for 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay, well, from what I was hearing is he can work for promotion.
Anything that has a DVD, he can't, or TV. He can work up, like, indies that never make tape. Outside of their local area, you know.
Yeah. And he had, basically, he had to have written permission from WWE for anything too big. That's from my understanding. So, but yeah, I mean, Austin Aries is going to be fine. I'm not really worried about him per se. I'm just kind of excited about seeing where he's going to pop up next is what I care about, you know. But let's talk about something else that happened big in WWE, and it's the fact that we had AJ Styles win the United States Championship off Kevin Owens at a live house show in Madison Square Garden last Friday night. And this is a big deal. This hasn't happened since 2012 when the Colognes won the tag titles at a house show. This is kind of interesting, too, for the fact that I don't know if anybody really saw this coming. I know I didn't. And Kevin Owens, you know, he's a big personality, a guy that you thought would, you know, if he was going to lose a title, it would be at a pay-per-view. But here we are. And that also has brought up lots of rumors on Kevin Owens and what's going on with him. You know, some people were saying he's probably injured. But he did wrestle the next night at another house show. So apparently he's not as injured as you could think. So it's an interesting situation here. And apparently this is also a last-minute decision by WWE to flop the title over to AJ Styles. Paul, I mean, this is really kind of mind-blowing in a way, because I didn't see this coming.
I didn't see this coming either, but I think this is really cool, right? I mean, this just further, like, WWE's always had a special relationship with the Garden. It used to be their home for a very long time before they became what they are, and really neat for AJ to win the belt there. I honestly don't have a problem with it. It's not like you won't get to see the match at Battleground still or anything like that. It's just something to maybe freshen up the feud a little. You know, it's just how it works. I never had even growing up, I didn't have a huge problem with them changing the belts on house shows, because that was still a thing whenever we were kids.
Yeah, I mean, this is cool. I like the fact that we're doing this whole, you know, they did it on NXT and made a big deal about it with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it when you do this every now and then. And as Paul said, MSG is a huge place. And if you do a title change there, it's like you did it on TV almost. And WWE made a big deal about it on social media. And then they talked about it probably during the pre-show of the Great Balls of Fire, I'm sure. And just, I like this. It adds a little different dynamic to it. Now you're walking in to SmackDown on Tuesday with a different situation, and how is Kevin Owens going to deal with that? And I like that. Instead of just, oh, same old, we're getting to the match, the pay-per-view. Now you add a new wrinkle. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is an interesting new wrinkle, and I like that. I really do. It's just with the fact of, you know, really what was going on with Kevin Owens. And like I said, there's word out there that he's not really injured, but he has been, you know, hurting. Some people are saying that ever since the last pay-per-view, you know, his body hasn't been in the most fabulous, you know, condition, you know, when it comes to being, you know, hurting. But, I mean, also, I think it's going to have a lot of excitement for people. And, you know, especially if you're reading all the wrestling news and you're listening to podcasts, you have every reason in the world to really tune in for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal, too. And maybe that's something they were trying out. And, hey, letting people at a house show get a chance to see a title change, it's a big deal. It also entices people to go to those house shows. If you go to a house show and every time you go to a house show, you know there's no way possible a title can change hands, why even have title matches? You know, why even worry about that? But this way you keep people interested. You keep people buying those tickets because they know there's some point, some time, a title could change a hand right in front of you and you just get excited and shocked, you know. They got to keep that thing, you know, really going. The house shows have to be important for people to come and see them. I know a buddy of mine went to Boston, and he got lucky enough to be in Boston to see a house show when The Rock actually showed up just as a surprise. And, you know, it was very jealous of me because I sat there saying that is not fair. But it was really cool for him and an opportunity for him to see – you know, The Rock at a house show and do something that he's always wanted to do. And I think that's what makes, you know, wrestling great is when you got these surprises that you never saw coming. So congratulations to everybody in the garden. You got to see something special, you know, and we'll see for where AJ goes from here. But I don't have any qualms with it. I don't know. You guys don't. It was just, like I said, out of left field. Didn't see it coming, you know. So I'll be looking forward to SmackDown tomorrow night. I'm telling you that now. Well, let's jump into something else. This is kind of interesting here. Let's talk about Lio Rush really quick. Lio Rush, you know, is, of course, a former Ring of Honor star. He's a guy that, you know, I was really super excited about watching during, you know, his short little time with Ring of Honor. I thought he was super exciting. I thought he was, you know, something that was going to be really special in that promotion. But he definitely was so special. The WWE saw him, caught their eye, and now... apparently, he is going to be heading over to NXT. There are lots of rumors out there that he is officially signed. I don't know that I've actually seen it through WWE, so I don't know if I can really say official from our point of view. But at least we do have word from other people that that could definitely be the case. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Paul. I mean, I think this is cool. I love Lio Rush.
Yeah, the big tipping news point that a lot of people are resting the rumor on is that he announced the August 5th CZW show is going to be his last appearance for that company when he faces Joey Janela for one last time. I think it's really cool. I hope he knows what he's signing for because NXT might use him for a whole bunch of stuff and he might be there for a little bit. But if the Cruiserweight division is still around when it comes call-up time, that's where they're going to put him, for sure. No doubt about it. And there might not be enough big personalities in the world to get people to watch that show.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be honest, you know, I don't know how Paul feels, but as someone that has to watch that show every week for a review, that... it's starting to get to the point with me sometimes where I'm just kind of like, man, I'm really almost kind of loathing watching this. Now, that match with Cedric and Noam Dar wind up being pretty good or whatever, but it's just, I feel like sometimes you're just going in motion with the same eight people or whatever, and not much of it changes. And then, okay, well, Lio Rush comes in, he does great on NXT. They call him up, and then, oh, well, now he gets to replace one of those people, and now he gets featured quite a bit. Oh, but you're still stuck on 205, and just not a lot going for you there at all.
I honestly like 205 Live, personally. Just go, not only is the wrestling usually good to great, but that they are trying to make it into something, and that's... for me, the watching shows struggle and seeing what they do is always much more entertaining. That's why I like SmackDown more.
Yeah, you know, 205 is one of those shows where you kind of sit there and say to yourself, okay, so is the main event going to be more exciting than this opener, or are they going to kind of unleash everything at the beginning and then at the end I'm going to kind of just kind of so that you're right, it is something that's growing. They're trying to build it, they're trying to make it important, and I think most times they get it pretty darn close to right and what they're trying to do. I've really, you know, enjoyed watching some of those big matches that they've had on the actual 205 Live show and not just throwing something on Raw. I think it's good the way they're kind of going about it. But I'm kind of with you, Sean, too. Sometimes I'm like, man, Some of these matchups are just kind of, I don't know. You know, and it takes me actually watching it sometimes before I kind of change my thought process. And that's bad, though, sometimes, too, because casual fans, they feel the same way I felt. They probably wouldn't even tune in.
Right. So,
who knows? But Leo Rush, I mean, I think this guy is super exciting. If they put him on NXT and he can showcase his ability and do some of those things that I've seen him do in the past, I think WWE is going to definitely look at this guy as a big star. It's just, will they look at him as a big star when they get him on the main roster? That's the biggest question. 205 Live, sure, he could fit there. He could fit in the Cruiserweight division. But man, it's just going to be a shame if he gets stuck in that place. It's almost like purgatory. I hate to say it that way, but 205 Live seems to be purgatory because they got the same people. And that's about it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you guys. Obviously SmackDown is much more interesting than watching that show, but it's, I feel like sometimes if it was on after Raw and you had things in Raw sort of teasing into it or whatever, I feel like there'd be a bit more of a connection there. It just, it being at the end of SmackDown when it had nothing to do with SmackDown, just, I don't know. Or, well, in this case, it'd be before Raw, because if you do anything else after Raw, people are going to, like, pass out in their seats right there. But
right.
Just, you know, I don't know. Just, if you have 205 Live maybe set up for a bigger match on Raw that night or something like that, there might be a bigger connection. It's just, I feel like where they have it doesn't help either.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think that they need to reconsider, or, you know, at least really pump it up. They do it during Raw sometimes, but I just, man, sometimes I think to myself, you know, they've really got to find a way to make that special. Like, it really means something besides slapping it on before they go to commercial or right before they, you know, do a 205 Live match. They've got to find a way to do it. They do it on SmackDown primarily because the show's following. But I think on Raw, really, they need to work on getting more 205 Live spots and commercials and those things where people really start to kind of say, man, I really need to check this out. That's what they got to do. So, but Leo Rush, I mean, once again, heading over to NXT is not a bad thing. I think that'll be something really cool. It's just, we're talking about already moving from NXT already to the main roster. Let's talk about someone else who's leaving their company. Madison Rayne apparently is deciding to leave Global Force Wrestling. And man, Sean, I mean, I don't know if this really hits your radar. I mean, it is what it is to me.
She might be pulling a Velvet and just retiring. You know, she is married to one of the announcers, Mr. Josh Matthews there. You know, we haven't really seen her do a whole lot lately, even really since she came back, since they were having that constant feud with the Beautiful People and the Dollhouse. That was the last time she was sort of relevant. So, you know, I think, yeah, if she's just going to go retire, it's not a bad thing for her at this point. She's been around a long while.
I would expect her just to go back to the indie scene. She wrestled Shimmer this past weekend too, so maybe she's just taking less dates or something like that. But I found this kind of interesting, just because wasn't she one of the ones that was doing some of the writing for the Knockouts for Impact / Global Force Wrestling?
I think that was Christy.
Was it Christy?
She left.
I knew Christy was. I could have sworn Madison was after she left.
She might have been, yeah.
I mean, either way, it might just be more changing the guard stuff that's going on here, is all I was going to say.
I mean, yeah, they could always, you know, maybe she does a one-time showing in that Mae Young Classic.
They would have to work something out real quick.
Well, that's what made me wonder is, you know, seeing this piece of news, if, you know, she thought, you know, there's an opportunity, maybe not at the Mae Young Classic, but there's an opportunity to be had if WWE's still looking to sign more talent when it comes to, you know, getting new faces in NXT and doing some things that maybe just to be a little bit different. And I think that she could possibly be trying to get her way over there. But I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying that could be a thought process. So, I mean, I think that she could, you know, land somewhere good if she really, you know, works at it. It's interesting. You know, we actually talked about Velvet Sky last week, and we kind of said that she was retiring. But, Paul, we got a little bit more information coming out of that.
Yeah, so there's a clarification that I think she made on a podcast or Twitter, one of the two I'm already forgetting. But she said she's only done with in-ring competition. She's not done with wrestling entirely. So leave that up to your imagination, but not completely done.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's always an opportunity for her to be around, possibly valet or manage or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. But if it's done within ring, okay, we have to get that around her head. But there could be some other situations that, you know, maybe I guess she can kind of pull out something special. And we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, that's, you know, that's one thing that we want to kind of let people know about Velvet Sky, that we kind of had it a different way last week. And, of course, Madison Rayne, good luck to her and what she's going to do. But we're talking about two ladies here. Let's go ahead and talk about the Mae Young Classic. We are getting some word that Medusa is going to have a role in this tournament. This is going to be interesting. I'm really kind of curious what her role is going to be. They're about to start filming soon.
Yeah, they taped this weekend. There isn't any specifics mentioned. This is via her Instagram as well. So, I think it's really cool, even if it's just another set of eyes to watch talent and maybe converse with about who's got what and all that. And I think that's still really cool. Or if she's like, I don't know, just like a guest announcer for certain matches or whatever they're going to do with her. I think it's just they're trying to be inclusive, not only to as many roles that women can have, but to across the generations as well. And that's just really, really neat.
Yeah, sorry, I'm having a brain fart of what we're talking about here.
We're talking about the Medusa being a part of, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, they need somebody like that. It, you know, we talked about, it, like, Sarah Amato's obviously, you know, training some of them or whatever, but they need that, like, veteran presence to be there. And I'm glad to see her having a role with it. You know, they did talk about they wanted to have more women presence in that show, aside from obviously having JR as the announcer. So having her, I think, is a great plus to that whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. And she's a big personality, too. I mean, they're going to really need that. You know, Lita's great. You know, you are glad to have her to be on commentary and to kind of go through some of the history and talk about some of the in-ring action. But really, Medusa's personality is so overwhelming that, you know, really I could see her out there promoting and really getting involved and just doing so many things, but doing it with a passion, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Lita just kind of shows up, does her job. I think Medusa would go kind of nuts. Trying to really promote things, really get out there. And if she gets on the, you know, ring commentary, ringside commentary, she's really going to be at it, and it's going to be interesting. But I think it's good. I mean, Medusa's definitely a legend, and I don't have any problems with it.
I think she helps too in taking away some of the pressure from JR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because let's not beat around the bush here. If it's just JR and Lita, we're probably headed for train wreck territory. you know, so I think having the three person allows, you know, Lita and Medusa to be able to go off each other too, being two former wrestlers there, and JR can kind of just call the action. I don't, you know, who knows how much he's going to mess up those names there as well, but just, I think he'll feel a little bit more comfortable just being sort of in a WWE environment, and I think having more people to work off of is only going to help him. So,
I mean, for all we know, she could be in Corey Gray's role during the Cruiserweight Classic, where she's just in charge of the big board.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, too.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, the one thing I will say, if Medusa is a part of this, you know, it'll be hard to get a word in edgewise. if, you know, it becomes a conversational wise. So, but yeah, I mean, that's great. I'm really happy for her. And, you know, really kind of curious to see how this thing is going to really shake out. We keep hearing all the stuff. We've got all the contestants in the tournament, all the, you know, of course, commentary booth side of things. Everything is kind of rounding out, but I want to see the product now. I'm ready. Enough talking about it. We got one last thing to talk about here, though, guys. We are going to be talking about Kenny Omega. And we have come to understand from himself, Kenny says that he is going to stick around with New Japan until 2019 at least, if not longer. And, you know, there's been a lot of fanfare for him, and he's really, I'm sure, enjoyed his time in New Japan. What we're understanding, too, is that his United States Championship is going to be something that could be defended on both New Japan and Ring of Honor shows. So that's something cool, and I think that's something also very important for that United States Championship belt to be up for grabs a lot when the Ring of Honor is involved, because those guys can definitely showcase New Japan if they get the belt from Kenny Omega. So this is cool. I think it's great. And hey, I mean, we know now that you're going to get a lot more action with Omega in New Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, it's cool to know that he at least plans on staying there longer. So maybe that might assuage, some of Ghetto's fear that he's going to up and leave him and might get him that heavyweight championship. But the U.S. title being defended in Ring of Honor, it could be really cool. They're talking about, there's rumors going around at least that it could be defended as soon as October. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it's defended during that War of the Worlds UK tournament or tour with all four of the big promotions that are all working together now in New Japan, Rev Pro, Ring of Honor, and CMLL. And yeah, it's really, really good news all the way around. I think that if people are getting nervous that Kenny's thinking about going WWE's way.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, he's said many times he feels like he can help New Japan become bigger all over the world, and that's what he wants to see, you know, and I feel like that message falls on deaf ears if he's not committing to New Japan, and that's good to see that he is. I'm sure there are personal reasons, like what Paul said, just to see if, you know, they put more faith in him there to perhaps get that championship eventually. And I feel like you've done so much of a story with Okada, you can't not pay that off eventually. Right. But this is great for him. It's good for New Japan, and you know, I'm sure WWE would have loved to be able to do something with him, but I'd much rather see him continue to be great where he is, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, that IWGP United States title, you know, they want it to be something special in America. They want that thing to be built up to mean something. And by having it around Kenny Omega's waist, it makes it even bigger. And I think all these matches you're going to get to see, and, of course, him bringing over to the States and doing various matches over here, it's just going to build that interest. And Kenny Omega is the right guy to do it. And I'm so happy to hear that, you know, he is putting a lot of focus in New Japan and is not going to be distracted by all these other things. So that's good. That's really good. It's good for him and it's good for New Japan. So, you know, best wishes to them for sure. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up our quick hits for this episode. Go ahead.
I was going to say that for one, you know, he couldn't win the best Super Juniors, but he did win the first ever British J Cup, Jushin Liger. So, awesome moment for him. And I did watch the, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give a full thing in case you guys want to watch it on Thursday and we can talk about it more. But I did watch the Kurt Angle W24 while I was, we had a big thunderstorm and my power went out a bunch of times. So I was like, well, I can just use my phone and watch this while I'm waiting for this to get going. It was a damn good 24, as they normally are. Kurt Angle gets really into it with his why he left and his problems and all that. So if you really wanted to know all that, he definitely does get into that. You know, they go over his career. for the most part. It's a very surreal seeing Dixie Carter there on that on a WWE program. They do call her former president of TNA Wrestling, so there is no mention of the new name or anything like that. So, you know, technically she didn't have anything to do really with GFW other than them invading her. So I guess it's not wrong. Man. But, that's
a wow, they invaded her, boy.
Sounds awful.
They invaded her promotion.
That could be a special on the network, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, maybe Kurt Angle is mentioning to bring her on to Raw next week, you know?
God so, help us.
Could you imagine if Dixie Carter shows up on Raw? Wow. I mean, like,
it opens up a door for EC3, so.
Like, hey, you know, he really is a Carter, and you guys need him. So, here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hey, you know, now Paul would have a close personal friend in a bigger place.
It's true.
So,
less time to ride in the limo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
But, yeah, definitely you guys should check it out, the Kurt Angle doc. As good as always, the 24s, but really gets into, you know, personal stuff with him. And, like, you get to find out that he broke his neck at WrestleMania 20.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And they showed stuff with Shane, too, I'm sure. I saw a little bit of the Shane stuff.
Right.
Wow, it's so cool to kind of, you know, get a chance to see, you know, him revisit and talk to people that he hasn't talked to in a while. And, you know, I definitely want to watch it. I'm really curious. And, you know, I think it'll be something that, you know, hopefully people do tune into, you know. So. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up Quick Hits for us, guys. We'll move on from here. And next we are going to jump into some Ring of Honor talk. Yeah, we had some pretty interesting matches on this episode of Ring of Honor, so we'll talk that right after this.
All right, guys.
All right. So Ring of Honor, before they even do their usual opening credits, we get a little promo from Cody telling us that seeing as Daniels attacked him during his original opportunity to tell everybody what Ring of Honor was going to be like now that he's the world champion, he's going to get that opportunity to do it next week. So because Daniels has been sent home, he won't be around for a little bit, so. I guess take that for what it's worth. And then that leads us into our first match as Coast to Coast teams up with Flip Gordon to take on the new ROH six-man world tag team or world six-man tag team champion, excuse me, Dalton Castle and the boys. And this is a pretty fun match. This is way more competitive than I thought it really was going to be or maybe should have been. And Ring of Honor probably has plans to make Coast to Coast and Flip Gordon into something down the road. But Dalton Castle and the boys just won these. I felt like maybe a little bit of a more dominating performance would have been helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I thought to myself the same thing. And I'm, you know, happy with those guys and with what they got going on here. But it's going to be hard. It really is going to be hard. You know, the boys have only showcased so much. And for you to really get behind what they're doing, you know, you got to see a lot more. But, I mean, with, you know, Flip Gordon and Dalton Castle kind of doing their thing in the ring and kind of trying to show each other off. That was pretty funny. I can't lie. I love that. You know, Flip Gordon did the flip and Dalton pretending he's going to flip. So things like that add comedy. I think the boys add a little comedy and do what they can. But I think Ring of Honor really, you know, to me, they're going to have to really find some way to get those boys to a certain level before I'm really going to be like, oh, wow, they're going to hold on to those titles for a while. Because right now I'm just kind of waiting patiently for someone to take all the titles off them. Once again, Flip Gordon's awesome. Coast to Coast is doing their thing. Mm-hmm. I think overall a pretty fun match to start the show out, right? I mean,
Right.
You get a little comedy, you get a little action. I think overall it was not a bad start to the show. And of course, you know, really, it wasn't really about the match that started the show. It was also Cody, which you were just mentioning, Paul. And I think Cody, I mean, they're taking their time with this a little bit. They're kind of sparing us his, you know, I'm going to sit in the ring and talk about how great I am for a long time. They're kind of putting it off another week, which is good because he can only do that so much. So, you know, with Chris, with everything going with Christopher Daniels and the way he's not going to be there, it leaves things open for Cody.
Yeah, I mean, Cody's really good at the talking part. Like, I don't have a problem with him getting a platform or anything like that. It's Ring of Honor, I think, needing to and wanting to space out their storylines across TV so that way you're not hit with the same thing every week. I think it helps keep their TV show pretty fresh and makes it, I mean, something to look forward to every week because you never know exactly which part of what story you're going to get.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. I do appreciate that part of it.
I think this next part's sort of a little bit of a larger part of the show, so I'll go ahead and talk about both segments. We get a recap of the assault that Lethal took at Best in the World from Silas Young in the Beer City Bruiser. They show him getting hit with the keg and going through the table and all that. Apparently, a camera crew and Silas followed Lethal to the hospital that night, and they show the promo he cut there where he doesn't think they're going to be seeing Lethal again for a while. And then we get another promo later on in the show where he has one of those so many days at work without an accident. And he's keeping count of all the days that Mr. Jay Lethal will not be on Ring of Honor TV, which is up to 15. And says that so long as he's here, Lethal will never be safe on Ring of Honor television.
You know, Silas Young is just, you know, a guy that, I mean, to me, he's a great heel. It's easy not to like the guy, but on the other hand, sometimes you got to love guys like him. And I think he did a great job here. I love the camera work, you know,
yeah,
showing the hospital and things like that and making it feel so important. And they did a great job with that. And, you know, what Silas Young is doing here is, you know, doing some great promo work while not having your opponent actually in the ring or doing anything with him. And, you know, hey, that's one of his strong suits, and I think that that's, you know, good that they had that here and got that story along without having to do too much. So I was okay with everything we got here with Silas Young.
Yeah, I really enjoy Silas's promo work, too. I think he's a dynamite wrestler. I just wish Ring of Honor would figure out what they want to do with him. But this feud feels like they want to do big things with him. Just haven't really let him win to make you feel that way.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. And I love the fact that also just because Silas Young's there doesn't mean the Beer City Bruiser always has to be with him. I love the fact that those guys, they're around each other when they need to be, and when they don't, they don't, you know. And that's just really positive. We just got a chance to focus on Silas Young. And so overall, great stuff.
Absolutely. This takes us to our second match, though. Matt Taven taking on Ultimo Guerrero. I really like this match. You have a lot of Kingdom interference, and it still really wasn't almost enough, and Matt Taven had to resort to a low blow and then hit his Bulldog finisher to put Ultimo away. But I think the crowd really got invested in this. Both guys worked insanely well together. They obviously have a history. They mentioned that more than enough times on commentary, if you ask me, and it's just a really, really fun, solid match that, I mean, I would recommend to anybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that Taven and Guerrero did a really great job. I think Guerrero is one of those guys that's really, you know, showcased his ability right in front of your eyes. If you haven't watched a lot of him and you're kind of depending on Ring of Honor TV to show you what he can do. Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, he really put on a pretty darn good match. I think that they had a story here, and that story was completed, and really Guerrero was the better man for this match, right? And it took, you know, a lot of outside interference and a lot of things to happen for, you know, him not to win the match. So I think that did him a lot of great service, and I think it made for a great reason in getting back more times than not. Because, I mean, really, just the way he showcased his ability, you're just, man, I want to see more. I want to see more of this. I want to see more of that the whole entire time you're watching it. So good stuff out of both guys. And I just, you know, I have a lot more respect out of Guerrero after this one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hangman Page and the Young Bucks get a little bit of promo time. They're pissed because their match with Bully Ray and the Briscoes next week was supposed to be for the six-man titles. That's obviously not going to happen since they lost them, but they're still looking forward to beating them up, proving they're the best, and ultimately getting back to a title opportunity down the road. And then that leads us into our main event where the Machine Guns taking on, or the Motor City Machine Guns, excuse me, taking on War Machine. This is another one of those matches Ring of Honor likes to do in their main event slot on TV where they try to go for epic and a big feel, and it doesn't reach there. It's very, very good. It's just, it's not, the commentary and what they're saying about what this match is supposed to be isn't matching the action. And I feel like they do this a little bit too often for my taste.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I respect it, okay? So, yes, you had the Motor Machine Guns win, right? And those guys put a pretty okay match on, but it just didn't feel like it was anything super huge. And honestly, after watching the match, I thought to myself, really, I kind of still think that War Machine should have won this match. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think it's for the fact that the work rate was okay, but it wasn't that point where you're just like, oh my God. It's also hard when you watch other matches that that War Machine are involved in, and they're so amazing, and they just do so much, and then have from them to lose on Ring of Honor TV against the okay team. The Motor Machine Guns are great in their own sense, but they're just not as hot as what we've seen War Machine. So it kind of threw me for a loop there. I'll be honest with you. I was kind of surprised with how that whole thing went down. But, hey, the Motor Machine Guns need love, too. And mm-hmm. It also helps this tag division for, you know, a team like the Motor Machine Guns to beat a couple of big guys in War Machine.
Absolutely. And that's going to do it for Ring of Honor this week. I think they're going to move towards a War Machine Young Bucks match down the road for the tag titles. And I think with War Machine sort of playing in between, and especially now that they hold the IWGP tag team titles again, I think Ring of Honor is just kind of playing it safe with what they got going on in the tag division right now.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. So we'll see what happens with that whole situation. But yes, that is Ring of Honor for this week, guys, and we hope you enjoyed it. Of course, that's also our show for the night. Yeah, I know. It's pretty quickly done here, but of course, we have more stuff in store for you guys on part two of the show. Don't forget that. It'll be available Friday morning on the download. We'll be talking Impact. Of course, there'll be some stuff going on there. Plus, we'll also be talking a little bit of Lucha Underground, along with your biggest news topics of the week. And, of course, you know, some other great stuff that you're not going to want to miss out on. Also, don't
forget Climax preview.
Yeah, there you go. That's another big thing. So there you go, man. It's already a can't-miss episode, for sure.
Next time this show rolls around, we're already be talking about night one.
So. Yeah. Wow. It's crazy to think about, isn't it, guys? But yeah, I mean, definitely you need to tune in for all that. And, you know, don't forget also, if you want to go find all our information, all our shows, and you're just like, man, it's too hard for me to always type it in, keep up with it, just go do yourself a favor, do us a favor. Go rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast from. When it comes to us, it'll be at Wrestling to the Max. Or if you love everything, go to W2MNet.com. Make sure you go subscribe at the W2M Network. And, of course, we want to also give props to 411mania.com and thank them. Lots of great content. You want to go find us. We're not hard to find. Also, the YouTube channel, go search out Wrestling to the Max on YouTube. And, you know, I want you to know that we did a Great Balls of Fire review this past weekend. We also had a Raw review that followed that. So if you missed any of those shows, go check them out. Trust me, lots of great stuff. We had a great time on Sunday night. And of course, with that Raw review, we had a lot of interesting conversations about things that were from falling out of Great Balls of Fire. But yeah, that is it for us tonight. We so much thank you for showing up and listening to us. We will catch you guys down the road, though. Until next time, I'm Gary Vaughn, he's Sean Garmer, and he's Paul Leeser. And if you're not living life to the max...
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.